In the wake of last year's Freedom Industries spill that contaminated drinking water for 300,000 people in and around the state's capital city, the Above Ground Storage Tank Act was passed into law. A year later, a set of identical bills emerged in the House and Senate that aimed to reduce the number of tanks regulated from almost 50,000 to about 100, according to policy analysts. The Department of Environmental Protection reports that they played no part in initiating this new legislative action. Legislators say the 2014 Act went too far by requiring duplicitous regulations for industry. Their answer to industrial pushback is now an amended version of Senate Bill 423, which also reduces the scope and stringency of last year's Act. Paul Zimkevich is the director of the West Virginia Water Research Institute. He remembers presenting information to the legislature after last year's chemical spill.
Okay, my point was that we had rules on the books. One is federal legislation, which was 40 CFR 112, which is the Oil Spill Control and Countermeasures Act. That requires that all tanks over, I think, 1,320 gallons have secondary containment, regular inspections. It's a nationwide rule.
Zimkevich also points to additional state rules enacted in the mid-1990s that require almost the same measures as the federal rule.
So my point to the legislature in January of 2014 was that we had rules on the books. There was every reason to think that if they had been enforced, we wouldn't have had a spill of methyl cyclohexane methanol.
What came to light during the course of the Freedom investigation was that regardless of the rules on the books, the Freedom tanks perched on the Elk River, a mile and a half upstream from a major public water intake, did not have a groundwater protection plan as required by state law. There was a compliance report filed in 2009 by the DEP's Department of Air Quality that mapped and detailed the site and the contents therein. But agency officials say it wasn't the responsibility of the DEP to inspect storage tanks or secondary containment measures or to disseminate that information to nearby water utilities. The lack of oversight is something last year's Act set out to address. Julie Archer from the West Virginia Surface Owners' Rights Organization says last year's bill extended extra protections to not only public water systems, but also to groundwater in general.
It has the potential to improve the inspection and maintenance of tanks that could affect rural landowners who rely on private water wells for drinking and other uses. And that's our members. I mean, most of our members rely on, you know, private wells for their drinking water.
But improving groundwater protection was never the objective, according to lawmakers. Legislators and Secretary Randy Huffman at the DEP indicate that Senate Bill 423 is now more closely aligned to the original version of legislation Governor Tomlin introduced in 2014, legislation designed to protect public water systems specifically. Huffman says this year's proposed legislation does allow for adequate regulatory controls for tanks deemed a high risk to public drinking water supplies. Senate Bill 423 tries to focus DEP's regulatory efforts on tanks in areas where, if there were a spill, contamination could reach public water intakes within 5 hours. While lawmakers have been told that about 12,000 tanks currently would fall into these zones of critical concern, the 5-hour flow detail befuddles the director of the West Virginia Water Research Institute, Paul Zimkevich.
If the stream is moving at, say, 4 miles an hour, then that zone is, 20 miles long. Now, on the other hand, if it's moving at 1 mile an hour, it's 5 miles. So that means you have a different zone of critical concern during winter, spring runoff, and late summer. If you use the maximum value, then there aren't many places in the state that would not be in a zone of critical concern.
Which tanks would or would not be regulated is not the only concern the bill's opponents are voicing. The executive director of the West Virginia Rivers Coalition, Angie Rosser, is worried about the bill's potential to create loopholes for industry. Of the 12,000 tanks in zones of critical concern, she says, tank owners have the ability to opt out of regulations by naming other regulatory programs that they already fall under instead.
We are looking to make sure that if that alternative compliance is pursued that is at least as stringent as what is in the Act.
Rosser hopes that when the bill is heard in the House chamber this week, amendments will be adopted that specify more clearly the extent of and frequency of tank inspections, as well as language to guarantee that public water utilities are fully informed of water contamination threats. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.